We were talking about different types of tables, folding tables, serving tables, covered tables, and chairs. So I think that the last thing that we had done, we were talking about this beautiful office chair or a kiseishel kala, and now we'll go back to normal chairs. So how about a regular chair? So the regular chair in those days was basically what we would call a stool that has the slats on top that sometimes would go out to the side, sometimes wouldn't, and sometimes you would add a back to it, sometimes you wouldn't. So here we go. So a kisei shaloa yuchifuyav yotzin. So if you've got the chifuyim are those slats. So if the slats don't go out to the sides, here in that picture, they did not protrude. So if they don't go protruding, and some of them were taken off, so now you cannot sit on the seat. It doesn't matter because you could always put it on its side and sit on the side since it's basically a box if it doesn't protrude. Shekein darko liot mateyu al tzidovi yoshev alav. It's still considered to be its main purpose. And therefore, remember, as long as something is broken but still does the malacha that it was designed to do, then it's considered to be tummy. And this would be a perfect case of an example of that. How about Mishnah Vav in Perek Chof Beit? Kisei shenital chifuyo ha'emtza'i v'chitzonim kayamim. How about a chair where the chifuyim do go out to the side? You can't put it on its side. However, you only took out the middle slat. Let's say with three slats, you took out the middle slat. The two outside slats are there. Now, that means even though there's a little bit of discomfort of sitting on it, but still, it will support you because it's just got a hole in the middle, then it's still tame because it's still usable as a chair. But if nitlu achitzonim v'emtza'i kayam, but on the other hand, if both outside ones are gone and you're going to have the middle one, would that be enough? Well, says the Tanakhama, yes, because you could still get a little bit of a seat by sitting just on that middle slat, even though it's a bit uncomfy. Rabbi Shimon says, well, it depends. If it was rachav tefach, if it was one tefach wide, that's considered to be enough to sit on. But if it's less than one tefach, it's too uncomfortable to sit on, it eats into you, and because of that, we consider it to be broken and not a usable a chair at all. Mishnah Zayin in Perek Chof Beis. So, what we've been talking about is these chairs, and a lot of these chairs were normally made with a place for you to put things underneath the part that you would sit on. So you would have a little storage place underneath, and not to waste space, as you know, and space is at a premium, so you want to use space that's available anywhere. So suppose you had two slats that you took off. So shnayim yichufuyav, ze bitzad ze. So now it's not really usable as a chair with the chifuyim. Nonetheless, Rabbi Akiva says, okay, but it's not considered to be pshutei kli eitz, is it? I mean, it does have that area that's become uncovered once you took off these slats. So now it's a kli eitz with a beit kibul. And a kli eitz with a beit kibul that's not meshamesh odom as a kisei is still a perfectly tomei kind of kli, and it's a kabel tuma. Therefore, tainas Rabbi Akiva, it should still be metame, whereas the chachomim are metaher. And the reason the chachomim are metaher is a shita that we've seen earlier, and that is we always look at the primary purpose. We had this about the kisei shel kala as well. It's all very nice that it's still a chair, but it's not a kisei shel kala. It's not specifically the kind of thing it was designed to be. Over here, the chachomim are metaher, because this was fundamentally a chair. The fact that it also, as an adjunct, not wasting space, would have place for you to put something under the seat is not enough to give it a din of the kli for which it was designed, just because it still has a container that's there. So that wouldn't make any difference. The question, of course, is where you weren't miyachedit. Once you would be miyachedit, then we get into the question whether you have to do something in order to show that now you've changed its tashmish, or the use itself would be sufficient, the yichud would be sufficient. That was about machlokas that we had earlier. I'm going to review it. Remember the old Kisei Shalkala, the office chair that we talked about before? So there we also had a lot of these pretty slats that went up around the side, you know, and they made an armrest and everything. So even at Kisei Shalkala, where we've got we took off the Chifuyim, there too, there would be something underneath, because remember the Kisei Shalkala was put on top of a normal chair base, and the normal chair base had a place for storage underneath. So if it was in the Shtayrbo, Beit Kibul, it would still, in that case, it would be called Tohar again, I say, because it would be considered to be Botla Iker, and therefore Botla Tfela. Once something's main use is no longer usable, and since over here we said before, its main use is as a kisei for a kala, and over here it is not a kisei as a kala, even though you might even be able to sit on that, and it's not such a deep thing. Mibdeisha botla ikar, botla hatvela, and this was a bigger chiddush, because, I mean, if it's just got like the normal chair underneath the kisei shakala, so then why would it not still retain the tuma because it's got a normal chair under it? And that's because it was made as one thing to service as an office chair, a kala chair, and therefore until again you're miyachidet as a chair, as this way it would not be makabel tuma as a kisei shalkala. So again, we come up with this idea of very specific kind of usage that it was meant to serve. Okay, continuing now, our Mishnah in Kalim, Mishnah Ches. So how about a shida? Shinitala Elyon. Now, a shida is specific in that it looks something like our garbage bins. You'll notice that a garbage bin, modern garbage bin, don't have covers. They have tops. And the top is shaped itself like a kli. So it's not just a flat piece that falls down, because those kind of things often have a lot of junk sticking out, and then you'll never be able to put down the top. So what they do is they make these very tall tops that themselves, if they were upside down, would actually have a Beit Kibul. Ah, perfect. A garbage bin. So, and that's actually what we mean when we say a bin as opposed to a box, right? So a shida is a bin. So over here, you've got the cover. If you take off the cover, it wouldn't make any difference because obviously the shida is perfectly usable as a Beit Kibul from the bottom. So it still remains tamei. It would not be considered to be broken. In the other way, if you took apart something broke on the bottom so that now you've just got your cover, then it would still be tame because it still is useful in using it in the other direction. And it would be tamea mipnei ha'elyon. You could still hold things there. And therefore, it serves as a Beit Kibul in both directions. But if all you're left with is the sides and the top and the bottom were gone, so Rabbi Yehuda says, well, okay, you could still put it on the edge, and then it would be like a table of some kind, where again the Chachamim would be metaher, because its main purpose is not usable, and since its main purpose is not usable, neither can a secondary purpose until it's miyuchad for that be considered to maintain a state of tuma or a state of being royal lekabel tuma. Now, how about the kind of thing that is done for a while you work? So let's say you're a stone cutter. You've got this enormous stone. You're working on it. And what you do is you put a cushion down on the stone to be able to sit down on. Now the question is that cushion bottled to the stone, which cannot be makabel tuma, or could it still become tamei b'midras? So even though in this case it is on a stone, and a stone is certainly, if that would be the main kli, a stone is not kli avonim as we had one of the big dinim, is that kli avonim are not makabel tuma. But over here, the cushion that you put on, the yeshivata satat, would still be tamei midras. And the next Mishnah talks about other things that are like that, where you're working on it, and you make part of it roy for sitting on. And this is now Mishnah Tet in Perek Chav Beis, discussing shulchanot and chairs and various temporary chairs for what you're doing while you're working. So suppose you're working on this big hunk of wood, and you paint part of it So to make it like a seat area, it's not going to have a lot of pieces sticking out. So you could paint it. Circo means you use red paint. Curcuma means you use curcumin, which makes an orange color in the paint. Or for that matter, if you didn't paint it, you might have taken some sandpaper just to get rid of the splinters. I mean, obviously, if you paint it, it gets a nice smooth coating and you're not scared to sit on it, but you could sandpaper it. So sa'o panim, you smooth down the top of it. The question is, would that now be ro'i to be makabel midras? Because basically, it's really just an unfinished big hunk of wood. So Rabbi Akiva is mitame, because that itself is enough of a shinoi. We saw that Rabbi Akiva held that the very low level of yichud for a new kli would make it a kli. And that is sufficient to make a tamei midras here, in which case it would be makabel any kind of tumah, because remember the rule is, anything that is roi for Kabbalah's Tumas Midras is considered to be roi for Kabbalah's Tumas Mace as well. The Chachomim say, it's not a kli. You've got to do something to it, not do something on it. So if you would actually carve out a kli, and you'd make it something that is suitable for sitting on, so it would be more anatomical seat, then, of course, it would be considered to be Tamei Midras. But just painting the surface or smoothing the surface is not enough to turn just a big hunk of wood into a kli. It would still be called gomim to the point where it wouldn't even be close enough to finishing to be makabel tumas midras. Now, we had before cases of salim and kalkalot. So these are different kind of baskets. They could be made out of wicker. They could be made out of reeds. Generally speaking, they're not going to be used for sitting on if they're a basket. But suppose you filled up the basket with soft material. So maybe with some wool pluckings or mochin. So you had whatever it was that would allow it to be soft. Maybe even straw. Now, it's something like a cushion. So now it's not really a basket. It's a stuffed cushion, you could say. What's the din? So this is matkin them for yeshiva by throwing soft things into them, straw or little pieces of cloth or maybe some actual pickings that you had from wool that was left over. It's still considered to be tahar. Because if you actually try to sit down on this thing and use it as a seat, you know what's going to happen. And stuff is going to go flying all over the place. And it's not really considered to be mitukan as a seat yet. But suppose you did something to keep in the stuffing. So if you were sergan, let's say you did a little bit of knitting over the top, either begemi, I mean, even if you just used grass or bimishihar, string, around the edges to keep it from falling out, that is considered to be a cushion, and that actually would be tame, similar to the two cases that we had before about the stone or about the woodworker. Now, the question of a chair with a hole in it brings us straight to the bathroom, because that's basically what a toilet seat is. It's a chair with a hole in it, and that is the modern word for a toilet cover. Comes from this Mishnah, and it's called an asla. An asla is a toilet cover. So if you have an asla, and it's got a hole in it, that is called suitable for yeshiva. Therefore, it's mekabel tumas midras, and because of that, anything that is considered to be tamei midras, remember, is by definition mekabel tumas meis. Now, the way that they used to make it was not like a wooden chair with a hole, but basically they used a frame. Under the frame, you could slide in the chamber pot and take out the chamber pot, and then they would cover the frame by screwing on a leather piece that was comfy. And there you go. You could still get these nice comfy leather toilet seats, although they're a bit more expensive today. And the idea over there was that you were comfortable on the leather, and the leather would be makabel tumah. Now, suppose you unscrewed the leather from the metal frame. So then the idea is that the leather would still be maintain its din of tumas midras, because people could still use it as a comfy mat to sit on. So you just put it on anything and sit down on it, and that remains tameh. The metal frame, however, is no longer suitable for sitting on, obviously, and therefore it's still a kli because it's meant to be the kli that will be the holder of the asla. And because of that, it could become a tomei mace, but it's not usable as a seat, but it will be makabel, other kind of kalim. Now, suppose you have a traskal, which we just had in Shabbos, legabe onek Shabbos for animals. Are you allowed to put a traskal around the neck of an animal to make it easier for the animal to eat on Shabbos? Or would that be considered to be a masui because it's overly doing the onek? Remember, we were machalic over there. If it's a kind of animal that's young, has a hard time bending down to be able to reach all the way down. Its neck hasn't yet developed. Okay. But in any event, we know what a traskal is. A traskal is really, it's a kind of small type of holder. And it was usually had a frame of some kind, and you wrapped it in leather, and that created this soft kind of edge that an animal could put their head into, or you could also use it as a cushion. So what we did over there? So a traskal, shechifuyo shel or, is tamei midras of tamei meis. So if you actually had a leather covering over the traskal, that makes it comfortable to sit on, and because of that, it's roi for sitting on, and it's roi for midras, and therefore it's certainly roi for tamei meis. But suppose the leather was removed and you're just left with the underlying wooden frame, so then the or itself, again, just like on the toilet seat, remains tamei midras, because you can use leather, and people would use leather, and people do use leather, as you'll note in when it comes to your car seat. If your car seat's not comfortable, you just go into a supply shop, and you buy a little leather piece that sits on top of the car seat. And that, obviously, would be tamei midras, and it breathes better, and it's softer, and people enjoy having leather. So because of that, the leather of the traskal is certainly usable in your car, and therefore it would be makabel tumas midras. So the or is tamei midras, but the traskal itself is not considered to be tamei at all, because the main idea of the traskal was that the wooden frame couldn't hold anything. It just supported the leather, and so it's not considered to be a beit kibul. It's not similar to the toilet seat where over there you use metal, and the metal doesn't need to have a base kibul in order to become tamei. But over here there was no base kibul, just like a wooden frame, and therefore it wouldn't be makabel tumah at all. Now, what about if you're in a mikveh, and you'll notice that on the mikveh what they usually do is they will put down these boards that you can walk on, so you don't get filthy from the water that's flowing on the floor of the mikveh, that's coming out of the showers, or all of the dirty water that's on the floor. So suppose you have these nisarim, you've got these floorboards that were put down in the merchatz. So they were put down on the mikveh floor, and you made them smooth to make sure that nobody would get any splinters on them. So you were shigman. Rabbi Akiva holds that, and again, this is Rabbi Akiva's approach in general, that even that is sufficient for them to be considered to be kalim that are usable to sit on, squat on, and therefore the tamei midras.
I mean, I think we skipped one case, or at least it was run over quickly.
Oh, I'm sorry. You are absolutely right. We did. I'm so terribly sorry. Okay, so we were discussing over here in Yonim where you have a material. Might be stone, might be a block of wood, might be metal, it might be reeds, that is used to support something else. And it's the combination of the two that we had to deal with and what the din was when it was separated. Now, getting into the same idea, if you've got a bench, now the benches in the mikveh itself were made out of stone. Therefore, they were not going to be makabel tumah. So suppose you had this big hunk of stone and you had two legs on the side that was made out of wood. The din over there is that it can be tamei because the thing that makes it into a seat really is the wood on the side. There's a machlokus over here among the mefarshim whether this means that we would actually be mevatel the stone top to these sides. So the Bar Tanura holds that we would only be metame, the legs over here. But stone attached to the leg is not going to be considered to be one kli that the stone itself will be mekabel tuma. But others argue, because we said whatever is mechuber to tame is considered to be part of it. And if we're viewing the legs as being sufficient to be a kli that's roi for tumas mikras on its own because of the stone, so then why wouldn't it be considered to be one kli? In which case, tame would mean the whole thing would be tame. Now, suppose you have two legs. One of the legs is a replacement for a piece of stone that fell out. It's made out of wood. The other leg is stone. So, achashel eitz v'achashel evan, then even the wooden leg is considered to be tahar, because essentially it's not the ikar of the bench, and therefore it's butel to the main bench, and the main bench is a stone bench. Okay, now getting to the floor boards that you put along the bottom of the, along the floor of the mikveh, and the showers, to allow people to walk without getting dirty and not exposing their feet directly to the pathogens or parasites or yeast that would be on the ground. So if you were shigman, you smooth them out, and the shaila is, does that mean that now there are roi for squatting on and you're going to be able to be metame midras? So the very fact that you smooth them, according to Rabbi Akiva, is sufficient to give them a din of tumas midras, whereas the chachamim, as is usual in this machlokas, the chachamim say, look, what's the ikar purpose of these things? The ikar purpose is basically to lift up the floor level to allow water to flow freely underneath, okay? Making them smooth to make sure that nobody gets their feet full of splinters is not enough to turn it into a different focus. And therefore, the main point is, ein amasuim, elish yu hamayim alchim tachteim, they're only there to get contaminated water to be able to run under them. And therefore, they are not considered to be things that are good for squatting, because that's not what they're made for. Okay, now, there's other things where, let's say a kanakilin. Sheyesh bo beit kibul ksut. Now, a kanakilin was something that was used as a smoker for clothing. And basically what it was, had a place to hang clothing along it. And then you would put in some kind of good smelling lavender or whatever and light it and allow the smoke to go all over the kalim that you have. So if it has a beit kibul ksut, then it's considered to be tummy because it really does hold the ksut. If it's shaped like a kaveret, which we had a lot of in Shabbos, so it's beehive shape, it's open on both ends, really. And instead of it being a base kibble, is that it allows the fumes of the burning lavender to come out on both ends. It's like basically a spray kind of thing that you're moving around and it's spraying. That is tar because it does not hold the clothing and therefore it's not considered to be a kli with a base kibble. And since it's made out of wooden or cellulose, the din is pshuta kliyetz. Einam mekablim tuma. Hadron alach, perek ha-shulchan. The capitan is slow today. Time to play ball, Richie. Play ball. Hakadur. But I guess we'll get to the next Mishnah. Bezrat Hashem tomorrow. Okay, everybody, have a wonderful day. Baruch Hashem. Up to Chof Gimel. That's a great achievement. Kalim is starting to get under our belts. Now, the question is, a belt? Now, that's a whole Shabbos issue, but we'll get to that later. Have a wonderful day, everybody, and happy Tiferes Shebahod. You'll notice, by the way, remarkably, that the inyanim that we've been learning about, whether it's in terms of the Gemara in Shabbos, Chagor Charbucha al Yerech Gibor Hotchav Adarecha, was Gvura Shebahod on the day of Gvura Shebahod, Gibor Hotcha, right? Now we're learning about the inyanim of the Tiferes of Kahuna, and in this parasha, which is Tiferes Shebahod. So everything fits. Perfect. So anyway, have a great Tiferes Shebahod day. See you all, Bezrat Hashem, and the birds are coming back. Good morning. It's really lovely. So we've got our little tzufiot up there, drinking and happy. Kol tov, everyone.